أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verses number 38 onwards. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله استقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل. O you who have faith, what is the matter with you that when you are told go forth in the way of Allah you sink heavily to the ground? Are you pleased with the life of this world instead of the hereafter? But the words of the life of this world compared with the hereafter are but insignificant. If you do not go forth, He will punish you with a painful punishment and replace you with another people, and you will not hurt Him in any wise, and Allah has power over all things. From here, from this verse number 38 until about 80 verses in the surah, the event of Ghazwatu Tabuk is covered and what happened during that call of the Prophet to war in Ghazwatu Tabuk. It is very interesting because it would tell us that how was the situation in Medina towards the end of the life of the Holy Prophet. And no war, no ghazwa of the Prophet has been covered in the Quran as extensively as this insignificant ghazwa. Insignificant in the sense that it never took place, it never happened. And it comes to mind that it was just a test of the faith of the companions of the Prophet. And we were told, or we are told in this surah, that how the companions of the Prophet and the Munafiqun in the Medina were thinking about the Prophet and what was the situation around that time. Now, this Ghazwa of Tabuk happened in the year 9 of Hijrah, so it was after the conquest of Mecca. The conquest of Mecca was on the 8th year, and this was on the 9th year, almost 1 year after the conquest took place. So, this 9th year was the year where all tribes from around the Prophet, from around Medina, came to the Prophet and declared their submission to the religion of Islam. And therefore, we have a type of unified Arabia at this time when the Ghazwa of Tabuk was going to take place. It was about a year and a half before the Prophet passed away, and the organization of the city of Medina was well established by the Prophet when these, of course, ayats were revealed. Now, the Ghazwa of Tabuk happened because of an information reaching Medina that the Romans, with the collaboration of some tribes in northern Syria, especially the people of Ghassan, they were trying to wage a war against Muslims. They wanted to attack Medina. Of course, the news was a forgery. It was not right. However, it created an agitation among people of Medina. They didn't have any foreign threats up till now. Now they were getting a threat from a very powerful neighbor in the north, and that was the Roman Empire. And it caused lots of agitation. It's just like the threats that America nowadays make against different countries, and it destabilized the whole situation in those regions. And this was, the news was quite destabilizing for Medina. that the Romans are going to attack. Now, did the Prophet know the reality of the situation or not? That's another issue. But he, for very different reasons, for many different reasons, wanted to somehow push back the destabilizing factor which was actually coming into Medina. And especially going through these verses, we would find that of course Medina was not a safe and peaceful place, as we always have in our mind that at the time of the Prophet Medina was an ideal city and everyone lived with peace under the auspicious rulership of the Prophet, and everyone was complying with whatever Prophet said. They were all brothers, they were all helping each other. Going through these verses, you would see that this is not the case at all. Medina was a type of city which was politically ripe for lots of unpleasant events. Especially, this would show that if Prophet was going to pass away, what would have happened in Medina after him? If he was alive, when he was alive, and these verses were revealed, if this was the situation, then you can guess what would have happened after he passed away, after that authority was not there anymore. You can imagine, I mean, by going through these verses, you can imagine that what would have happened after him. Now, the Qazwa didn't take place at all because the news were not true. And the Prophet, although he took an army for this very long journey to the northern Syria, which in the midsummer was very tiresome and very hard for Muslims. However, it would probably have another purpose for the Prophet, and that was testing the faith of his companions. This is a real test for the faith of the companions of the Prophet. And of course the Munafiqun in Medina, and those people who claimed that they were Muslims and they were not. Going through these 80 verses, about 80 verses here, you would see that what a tasking and exacting test this was for them. Just telling them that you have to come out for a war. Now, one peculiar thing about this battle is that Prophet, peace be on him, when he wanted to set out for a battle, he never ever mentioned that what was the destination, who were going to be fought. It was all secrets. And the people following the Prophet, they only knew after they found out that which direction they were heading to. And just before the battle was taking place, the news broke that yes, we are going to fight that tribe, or we are going to conquer Mecca, for example, or whatever. However, in this battle, since, as I said, it was a test for the faith of the faithful, the Prophet right from the beginning said, we are going to Tabuk, North Syria. And had he not mentioned that we are going to Tabuk, there was no problem. Everyone would have followed him, of course, because they thought that this is a very short distance journey. It's in the summer, the fruits are ripe, they are going to have their harvest, everything for, especially the dates were ripe, and that was the major capital of Medina. And they thought that, okay, we go and come back in a matter of week or two. However, right from the beginning, the Prophet said, we are going to fight the Romans. And this was very scaring, of course, because even when Prophet wanted to fight a small tribe, he never revealed it. The people only knew after they were faced with that tribe, knowing that they were going to fight them. Everything was secret right from the beginning. However, here in this very tremendous task that the Mu'minun were going to have, Prophet right from the beginning said, we are going to fight the Romans, we are going to Tabuk, that was about 1,000 kilometers away. And of course everyone was scared. And why did Prophet want to scare them? Why did Prophet want to reveal this very dangerous information to them? It all brings us the idea that it was a test. Right from the beginning, it was a test. First of all, the news was a forgery. Secondly, when the Prophet went there, of course, no one came to object him or to fight him. All the armies went away from his way. Just ahead of time, they just opened the way for him because they were afraid of the Prophet as well. So it all tells us that it was a type of test for the faith of the believers and a type of blessing for us to have this Surah At-Tawbah now to analyze and to find out how was the situation just before the demise of the Prophet in Medina. Okay, the verse starts with a very rebuking tone not to the munafiqun but to the faithful, to the companions of the Prophet. It says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ انْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ اثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. O you who have faith, what is the matter with you that when you are told, go forth in the way of Allah, you sink heavily to the ground? Now, when you are told, go forth in the way of Allah, of course, who told this? He was the Prophet, because he was the commander. He started to command the people that you have to come to fight the Romans. Now, right from the beginning, we understand that there was a disobedience here. People heard the command of the Prophet, but they disobeyed. They disregarded completely. And they started to bring many different pretexts. Why we cannot come with you, this is not the right time for us to come. So the verse, first of all, rebukes the mu'minun. It doesn't talk about munafiqun at all. The companions of the Prophet who had faith, alayhi salam, are addressed here, O you who have faith, what is the matter with you that when you are told, go forth in the way of Allah, but this was the order of the Prophet, of course, انفروا في سبيل الله, go out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You sink heavily to the ground. اثاغلتم إلى الأرض means you become so heavy as if you could not be removed from your place. You are just stuck on where you are. And this was the situation with them. For several days the Prophet was calling them to prepare, to mobilize for this battle, and they were just giving pretexts. And some of the pretexts, of course, are mentioned later on in the surah. That what is wrong with you that you sink heavily to the ground? And this question, of course, is a question which has the answer with itself. أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. Are you pleased with the life of this world instead of the hereafter? It means that you are pleased with the life of this world. You are not thinking about Akhirah anymore. The type of mentality that Muslims had at the beginning, especially in Mecca, and in the beginning of migration to Medina, and the type of sacrificing attitude that they had, now it was lost because everything was now established. They thought that now they are a powerful state and they have conquered Mecca. Now is the time to reap the fruits, and now telling them come out for a very dangerous war, of course it was very difficult for them. So it said, are you pleased with the life of this world instead of the hereafter? Meaning that yes, you are now, you are, have become pleased with the life of this world. As I said, it was the time where they had to pick their dates from the palm trees, and all their capitals were in danger and no one wanted to go, and everyone actually was criticizing the Prophet, saying that no war has happened yet and no army has been mobilized. It's just the news that they want to do it. So why should we go at this time that we have to go and pick our dates? And at this very, very hot time, it will be mentioned later on, وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفَرُوا فِي الْحَرْبِ. They say, do not go out in this very hot season, very hot time, and قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا. Say the heat of the hellfire is much hotter than this heat that you are experiencing now, trying to somehow rebuke them. So this was the type of being pleased with the life of this world instead of the hereafter. And of course, a very well-known fact of the Quran is mentioned after that. فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ العليم. But the wealth of the life of this world compared with the hereafter but insignificant. Meaning that you have to work for hereafter, not for this world. Okay, then there is a text here for the believers. أَلَّا تَنْفِرُوا يُعَذِّبْكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. If you do not go forth, he will punish you with a painful punishment. وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, and replace you with another people. وَلَا تَضُرُّوهُ شَيْئًا, and you will not hurt him in any wise. And Allah has power over all things. Now, he replaces you with another people is a very interesting phrase which is mentioned in other verses of the Quran as well. It means that you are chosen people because you have helped the Prophet. If you have any honor, it's because you are the Ansar of the Prophet. You are the Muhajirun, you are the Ansar, you have migrated with the Prophet, you have helped him when he had no one, and this is an honor for you. Now, if you do not follow him, if you do not help him, then of course Allah would replace you with some other people who would help the religion, and you would lose the honor. And this of course gives us the very interesting fact that if we help religion of God, if we help in the way of promoting the word of God on the earth, this is not something that would benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually favored upon us, that we can do this. And he always has people who would help his religion. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah, O you who believe, be the helpers of God. Now if you do not want to be the helpers, he would have another people who would help him. Everything would help him in this world, of course, but he wouldn't give the honor all but to those people who he wishes to favor some blessing upon them. And you as Ansar and Muhajirun, who are of course honored with lots of phrases in the Quran, and of course even in this surah we would hear a very, very powerful phrase about Ansar and Muhajirun. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن. This is a very, very great praise Allah is giving to Muhajirun and Ansar. But He is warning them, all these praises are there for you because you were helpers of the Prophet. It's not because of yourself, it's because of the Prophet. And because you helped the Prophet, now we are actually giving you all these praises. If you do not follow, if you do not obey the Prophet, then of course the honor will be taken away from you and will replace you with some other people who helped the Prophet. It's as we have in Surah Ma'idah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, again it's directed to the believers, not to the munafiqun, to the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi, whoever turns away from his religion from among you, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Allah will bring forth another people who would love him and Allah would love them. And they will fight in the way of Allah. If you are going to turn away and fight for your own desires, then Allah will have another people coming and helping you. So, first of all, if you do not go for this war, as I said, the war was not a logical one. It needs lots of arguments, lots of reasoning from the side of the Prophet to convince the people that we have to go out. And you know that those chiefs of tribes and wealthy people in Medina, they could bring lots of excuses and lots of reasons that why we shouldn't go out at this time of the year for this Ghazwat al-Tabuk. So Prophet could not argue with them actually, because the reasoning from the other side was very powerful. So the only threat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you do not go out, He will punish you. This is the final word. And we have no discussion after this. If you do not go out, Allah will punish you and replace you with another people. وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ وَلَا تَضُرُّوهُ شَيْئًا, and you will not hurt him in any way. Hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that, of course, you think that if you do not help the Prophet, you are going to hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because of you that Islam has now grown and has now established itself. It's because of your help, your sacrifice, that everything now is now in place, and now you want to claim something, and you say, if were we not there, of course Prophet was not the Prophet that he is now, Medina was not the Medina that he is now, and if we stop helping, then everything would go wrong. Allah is telling them, no, don't think like that. If you do not help, you are not going to hurt Allah in any way. He always has his decrees being realized through the force of his own power. So, وَلَا تَظُرُّهُ شَيْئًا وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. Of course, it's obvious Allah is powerful over all things. He can do everything. So, if you do not help, don't think that you are going to change anything. And then, of course, there is an example here that how Prophet was helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without anyone helping him. And actually, the example wants to tell the people that if you think about these examples, you would see that it was not you who helped the Prophet. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helped him. You were Allah's instruments, Allah's means. You were honored by Allah to be given the opportunity to help the Prophet. And now if you want to think that, no, we have honored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have honored the Prophet, peace be on him, by helping them, you are wrong. Now, the example is the very famous occasion of when the Prophet sought refuge in a cave. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهِ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. If you do not help him, then Allah has already helped him when the faithless expelled him as one of two refugees. When the two of them were in the cave, he said to his companion, do not grieve. Allah is indeed with us. Now this verse, of course, the continuation of the verse is, then Allah sent down his composure upon him, his sakina, and strengthened him with hosts you did not see. And he made the word of the faithless the loudest, and the word of Allah is the highest, and Allah is almighty, all-wise. This verse, of course, has a theological connotation apart from the general meaning which goes with the context of the verse, and that is Allah has always helped his Prophet even when no one was helping him. However, since Sahib al-Prophet, the companion of the Prophet in this occasion seeking refuge into the cave was Abu Bakr, of course it has raised lots of theological discussions among Shias and Sunnis about the status of Abu Bakr and this Sahib in this verse, and they have actually interpreted the connotation of this companionship of the Prophet in many different ways, in many opposing ways, which we do not deal with here, of course, because this is not very much related to the interpretation of the verse. Just we see what is the connotation, what the verse wants to tell us actually in this context. Because you can take this out of the context and interpret it in many different ways. But in the context, what does the verse want to tell us is something else. So, it wants to tell us, of course, the context is that no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the Prophet. And if anyone else is helping the Prophet, it is an honor, not something that Prophet should be honored with, that we have honored you with our help. No, it is an honor for them. Now, if you do not help him, then Allah has already helped him, فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهِ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ, when the faithless expelled him. And this is, of course, you know, the occasion of the migration of the Prophet. He actually fled from Mecca because they wanted to kill him, and this migration coming out is actually mentioned as an expulsion of the Kuffar of Mecca, because it led to the expulsion of the Prophet anyhow. Although they didn't want to expel him, they wanted to kill him, it led to this expulsion. And he came out when he didn't have anyone, but one of his companions. And of course, with the categorical tradition by both Sunnis and Shias, we know that this companion was Abu Bakr, the first caliph. Now, if you do not help him, then Allah has already helped him when the faithless expelled him as one of two, meaning that he had only one companion going with him. Thaniyat name, or salat or salata. This is an Arabic type of phrase which mentions that people who came out were three or were two or four or whatever. So there were only two. He had only one person accompanying him. Now, the problem is that even that one person, not only he was not offering any help to the Prophet, he was disheartening the Prophet. And you could see that how Prophet, despite that disheartening situation and that type of psychological negative attitude coming from his companion, he stood firm and Allah helped him, and no one in this world was there to help the Prophet but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what was this psychological negative attitude coming from the companion? We understand it from here. إِلْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, when the two of them were in the tent. You know that when the Prophet, of course, fled from Mecca, well, of course, Prophet didn't know the way to from Mecca to Medina, and he could not trust anyone to actually take him from Mecca to Medina and do not actually deliver them, give them to the mushrikun of Mecca who would pay a very, very large sums of money just to receive the Prophet from anyone. He found one person trustful and he asked him, can I trust my blood with you? Can you actually be a trustful person for my blood? He said, what has happened? He said, I want to go to Medina. And the person said, yes, I will take you, I'll protect you, I'll take you from a route that no one can find you. So this was arranged a few days ahead of the journey of the Prophet. And on the night when Amir al-Mu'mineen, as you know, slept in his bed and he fled Mecca towards Medina, the person took them from some sort of route which was quite unfamiliar to other guides. He was a very knowledgeable guide to the routes from Mecca to Medina. However, the mushrikun of Mecca found a very knowledgeable guide as well to guide them to different routes. Now, they followed the Prophet to capture him and then to kill him. And eventually what happened, Prophet and Abu Bakr, the guide said, okay, this is very dangerous now, I have to leave, they have come. The guide left, Prophet and Abu Bakr sought refuge into a cave. Now, the guide brought the mushrikun to the door of the cave. And of course the Prophet was there. The guide went, looked to the other side, there was a tree there. The guide went, looked at the tree, looked at the footpath which was beyond the tree, and told to those who had followed the Prophet I swear that these people have not went ahead of this tree. They are here. And that was something that he said categorically, they are here, they haven't passed this tree. Now, of course, the only possibility was that they were in the cave. And a quite forceful army of men had come to take the Prophet, to kill him actually, and of course his companion. And this was a very frightening situation. They were hearing from the cave, inside the cave, what was happening outside. The people were there, the army was there. The guide told that these men have not went further than this tree, they should be here. The only possibility was that they were in the cave. Now, this was when Abu Bakr started to somehow become fearful. He became very afraid and he started to say, we are found, we are going to be caught, and this is something, this is the end of it. And despite this situation, you can now see the situation. Why this example is mentioned here is to tell these people who are not actually mobilized, despite the orders of the Prophet, telling them, it is not you who are helping the Prophet, it is us, it is me who have always helped the Prophet, and this is the example of it. The people were there, they were in the cave, the companion was afraid, he was actually disheartening the Prophet, but إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنُ, he was telling to his companion, do not grieve. So this grievance was there, and of course it was a place for grieving, because it was the end of it. There was no doubt that it was the end of it because of the situation. So when he said to his companion, do not grieve, Allah is indeed with us. Now, of course, how did the Prophet stood that situation? And now we have in many ahadith, you know what happened, that two birds came and they had a nest just a few minutes before the kuffar reached them. They came there, they built a nest there, they had their eggs there, and the spider just very quickly made a spider net in front of the door of the entrance to the cave, and it appeared that this cave has not been actually entered by anyone for decades. It very suddenly appeared like that. Now in some ahadith, in Sunni books, we have that the Prophet, peace be on him, ordered the spider, the Prophet, peace be on him, ordered the bird, or whatever, whichever way we take it, it was the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, if you do not help him, the spider would help him. If you do not help him, the bird would help him. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is mobilizing everything to help his Prophet, because he wants to make this religion to succeed. So you shouldn't think about your help offered to the Prophet and boast about it or something like that. And of course the disheartening thing was that everything was going against them. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. Then Allah sent down His composure, His sakina, His tranquility to him. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And strengthened him with hosts you did not see. Now, the point of contention, theological contention between Shi'is and Sunnis, and we have ahadith and counter-ahadith about it, and you certainly, one side is forgery, the other side is true. Which one it is, we cannot judge in a tafsir discussion. But the argument is that to whom this sakina, this composure, this calmness was redeemed? Was it to Abu Bakr or was it to the Prophet? And since the ayah actually has left it a bit ambiguous, of course, it might not seem ambiguous, but you can make it ambiguous anyhow, that this sakina was revealed to the Abu Bakr or to the Prophet. And of course the revelation of sakina coming down to a heart is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a favor, it is a sign of faith, certainly. So the Shias who want to say that Abu Bakr was far from this to receive such a sakina from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have actually discussed that, of course, this the pronoun is going back to the Prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his sakina to the Prophet, that composure and calmness. And of course, أَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and he strengthened him with hosts you did not see. That was the spider, the bird, and the angels coming down and helping, turning away the heart of the mushrikun to go into the heart, into the cave, disheartening them that if we enter, they might have a sword, they might attack us, and all these different types of troops of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to us, and we do not see them. Now, the Shia exegetes, of course, they say if you look into the context and into the different phrases and sentences of the verse, you will see that all the pronouns are talking about Allah, about the Prophet, peace be on him. It wants to mention to the companions in Medina that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps his Prophet without needing anyone else. And certainly, and strengthen him with hosts you did not see can never go back to a companion. It certainly goes back to the Prophet. Allah helps his Prophet with his troops that we do not see. Now, they say that If you say that, and then Allah sent down His composure to Abu Bakr and strengthened the Prophet with hosts you did not see, then the pronouns would become very complex and very perplexing. All the pronouns should go back to the same person, the same thing, so that it makes sense. Otherwise, it's a very ambiguous type of verse, you could not understand it. However, of course, the counter-argument would be that, well, why Prophet would need Sakina at all? He's always with Sakina, he's always with calmness, he's always with tranquility. So, instead of saying that Allah sends down tranquility to His Prophet, is it not better to say that Allah sends down His tranquility to that companion, so that since he was grieved, since he was very disheartened, Allah sends down His calmness, His tranquility to him, so that he would become a bit better in terms of his psychological situation. Well, of course, this is not a forceful argument, since we have in other verses of the Quran mentioning that Allah sends down His Sakina to the Prophet, especially in previous verses in Qadwat Hunayn, we have Thumma in verse number 26, Thumma anzalallahu sakinatahu ala rasulihi wa ala al-mu'minin. Then Allah sends down His composure upon His apostle and upon the faithful. So, yes, of course, Sakina is something which has different grades, and when in that very difficult situation, a type of feeling the presence of Allah, feeling that He is helping, came to the Prophet, and that is why he could actually somehow calm down his companion. Anyhow, this is not something which is very much related to our discussion. The only thing is that the verse wants to tell us Prophet was alone, and although he was accompanied by someone else, by one of his companions, that companion as well was disheartening the Prophet. And Prophet not only was thinking about the mushrikun who were outside the cave and were trying to come inside, not only he had to think about that, he had to somehow call down his own companion that do not grieve, Allah is with us, he would help us. In such a situation we have helped this Prophet. So how do you think that we are going to leave him alone if you do not follow him, if you do not obey him in this war? So, do not, when he said to his companion, do not grieve, Allah is indeed with us, then Allah sent down his composure upon him and strengthened him with hosts you did not see. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى. And he made the word of the faithless the lowest. So, of course, what was the word of the faithless? It was their promise, it was their pledge to each other that they were going to kill the Prophet. And it was, of course, plotted in Darul Nadwa. They wrote it, they signed it, and this was a strong word from them that we are going to kill the Prophet. And Prophet actually was in their hands, and they could do whatever they wanted with the Prophet. And still they couldn't find him. Still the Prophet actually slipped out of their hand despite their power. So he made the word of the faithless the lowest. That pledge, that strong pledge that all tribes in Mecca made with each other that we are going to kill the Prophet, that word was put the lowest. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَى. And the word of Allah is the highest. Now the word of Allah, of course, it is promised that he is going to help his prophets. And not only his prophets, his prophets. Not only his prophets, the faithful. This is Kalimatullah. And in many places of the Quran we have that this is the word of God, that the faithful are going to prevail. This whole issue of faith, which should spread among the hearts of the people, is just like a strong, elastic type of object that you might suppress it, you might somehow try to push it down, but it would erupt again, it would come out again. It is something which you could not contain. It is something which goes into the heart, from the heart of, by the word of the Prophet, by their preaching. And this is something which is mentioned in many verses of the Quran. لَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا. This is the kalima. Now here it says كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْأُولِيَا. The word of God is the highest. Now in In other verses of the Quran, we have وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We have made this word. We have actually pledged with ourselves or with you or with whoever that this is my word. لَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا. This is in Surah Saffat. لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. For our messengers. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. They are to be helped by us. وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And our troops are going to prevail, are going to be victorious. This is my word, and that was, of course, that was the word of the disbelievers. Their word was put the lowest. وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا. And of course, the word of Allah is always the highest. He would help his prophets, he would help his religion. Now, you might, of course, think that in many occasions we would see that this does not happen. We have seen prophets that are killed by disbelievers in the past. We have seen, say for example, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, was he of course one of the faithful? Certainly he was. Was he from the troops of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Certainly he was. So why was he not helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was killed in that very heartbreaking situation? So the question might come that when Allah says Kalimatullahi al-Ulya, the word of God is always highest. And that word of course is that we are helping those people who help our religion. And Tansurullahi yansurkum. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? If you help God, Allah would help you. So how this would tally with those events and situations that we see? And of course we can mention as an answer to this question that this success, this victory is a victory upon the hearts, not a victory in just political struggles for power. A prophet might be killed, a man of God like Imam Hussain alayhi salam might be killed, but you could see how this sacrifice, how their killing would spread the word of God more than when they were victorious, if they were victorious, for example, over that, in that special occasion. Now, the example of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is very interesting in this regard, because of course he was killed in a very short battle, just half a day he was finished with all his troops. Of course very scarcely had any troops, but he was finished in a matter of half a day. But you can see what change he has brought in the history of not only Shia, in the history of Islam. And that whenever anyone wants to think about the past history of Islam, this example of killing of the grandson of the Prophet comes in front of their eyes, and they are shocked with this situation. If you go to books written by Sunni ulama, Sunni scholars, you would see that how they are affected by this event of Karbala in their way of thinking about the history of Islam, and in the way they actually try to demonstrate what happened after the Prophet, peace be on him. I have mentioned this previously. As-Suyuti, which is a very respected scholar of the 9th century, and he has, of course, great influence. Still in Shia houses, his books are being taught, his books of literature, of course, As-Suyuti. And he was a jurist, he was a historian, he was a theologian, and all these things. In his book of history, Tarikh al-Khulafa, he comes to the, of course, he talks about all the Khulafa, all the caliphs after the Prophet. Well, of course, one of these Khulafa was Yazid bin Muawiyah, and when he discusses the history of Yazid, he mentions, of course, many things, what happened in his time, how he tried to administer the whole organization of caliphate and all these issues. And then he mentions, and there is an event between him and Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet, in Karbala, which my heart cannot accept to mention, and I cannot mention it in my book. I only say, may God curse Yazid and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and whoever took part in this battle. Now, of course, he does not mention the full history of Karbala, because he thinks of it as more heart-rending than something could be mentioned in his book. But the whole idea of the history of Islam in his mind actually is influenced by that event of Karbala. So this is the type of help, this is the type of Kalimatullah coming into realization by such events. Whether a prophet or a man of God is killed or is alive, it is something which would boost Kalimatullah anyhow. Now here, of course, it was the victory and it was the help coming to the prophet, because Islam would have finished if prophet was killed there. It was not something like the event of Karbala that it boosted the religion of Islam rather than finishing this. But here, of course, if prophet was killed, then Islam was finished. So Allah helped the prophet in such a disheartening situation. And of course, always the word of Allah that we are helping our prophets, wa kalimatullahi al-ulya, wallahu azizun hakim. And Allah is almighty, all wise, and of course the appropriateness of these attributes, names of Allah to the whole verse is quite clear. I think we are going to have very interesting review of the history of Medina in the coming verses, and this is the best analysis of the situation, the political situation, social situation, mental situation, cultural situation in Medina towards the end of the life of the Prophet. And you will see that, of course, the companions were not very much willing to comply with whatever Prophet said. Inshallah, we'll explore these in following verses. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
Next Sunday is probably the last Sunday before Muharram.
Yes, inshallah.
And
when
will we resume? Inshallah,
yes. Yes, inshallah. Okay. Now, can I have any questions? Yes. You mentioned right in the beginning the supposed war in the book was false news. Now, falseness usually doesn't propagate by itself. Was there a strategy? Did somebody have a strategy to get the Prophet as far away as possible so they could cause sedition in Medina? Do you think that was an idea?
It might have been possible. We will come later on to the fact that Prophet, of course, left Ali ibn Abi Talib behind in this battle. And this is the very famous occasion that the hypocrites started to make a type of atmosphere, saying that now Ali is not favorable to Prophet anymore, he's not taking him to the battle, especially to this very, very dangerous battle with Romans, and he's not the chief commander anymore. And of course, Ali ibn Abi Talib could not respond to all these plots and conspiracies going on, so the best thing he thought to do before Prophet getting very far, he came and visited the Prophet a few miles away from Medina, accompanied with some other people, and he asked the Prophet that, why have you left me behind? Of course, he knew why the Prophet had left him behind, but just wanted to clarify for the people. And this very famous hadith came here that, Ya Ali, ala tarra an takuna minni bi manzilati Harun min Musa. Do you not want to be like Harun to Musa for me? So you are the only one who can succeed me in such situations, who can actually take command of the affairs. It is possible. It's not mentioned anywhere that this was a conspiracy to take Prophet away from Medina. But lots of other conspiracies happened on the way, actually, when Prophet was going to Tabuk. And all of them are being, actually, we are being told about many of them in the following verses. Well, this is something to be taught about, inshallah. We have to think about, yeah.
Sisters?
Assalamu
alaikum. Alaykum
as-salam. This verse that you talked about in cave, I just wanted to mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the four parents, which is in Arabic, halim. In other words, he would never get, if a difficulty and tribulation would come to him, they would disquiet him, never would perturb him. That's how he could teach the others. And bear in mind that Abu Bakr was a normal human being, and he has risked his life to go with him, one cannot say that he was agitated or agitating the Rasul. He was in a process of learning. And those quietness and patience of Rasulullah was teaching. And as yourself mentioned, that Allah will comfort Sakina and tranquility on the Mu'mineen and the Rasul. So, putting aside the Shia and Sunni hadith, just using your intellect, we could come to some sort of agreement and nice interpreting of the ayah. Don't you think so?
I would say that probably to remove the ambiguity from the verse, it would have been appropriate that the verse would have said فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِمَا, and God sent His tranquility to both of them. Then of course وَأَيَّدَهُ, meaning the, and supporting the prophets with his troops. But he had, it had actually left in a way that we are in a limbo. We don't know whether it was revealed to the Prophet, the Sakina came down to the Prophet, or to the companion. But certainly not to both of them. Because if it was coming to both of them, it would have said, فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِمَا. Because we know in Arabic, of course, these are very clear. The Tasniyah, the Mufrad, and the Jam are very clear. However, not Sakina not coming to a companion is not something which would somehow bring any blemish on him. And of course, Abu Bakr in this situation, certainly he had made lots of sacrifice going out with the Prophet and making this very dangerous journey with the Prophet. It was, of course, an honor for the for Abu Bakr. And mentioning it here is an honor for Abu Bakr that he was with the Prophet. However, the situation was that he was not helping the Prophet. This is what ayah wants to tell us. That not even one person on this earth was helping the Prophet. And not only he was not helping, the Prophet had to actually call him down. And just this phrase, statement, أَذْيَهُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. Now, sahib is someone that should comfort you, isn't it? Your companion should usually comfort you, give you strength of heart. Now, here, the verse wants to say, even that companion who had made sacrifice to go with the Prophet, even in that situation which Prophet needed help, he not only did not offer any help, but Prophet had to call him down as well. And this is يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا is a very strong phrase, that he was grieving, he was very sad, he was very frightened, and Prophet was saying that God is with us, do not worry. And the whole situation, of course, is not to somehow give us a type of picture of this companion of the Prophet. It wants to tell us that Prophet was so alone that even his companion needed comfort from the Prophet rather than offering any help to him.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sheikh, the Kufar of Makkah were after the Prophet. Do you have any reason to believe that if they were caught in the cave, Abu Bakr's life would have been in danger? Because we do know that Abu Bakr, I understand, did not enter Medina with the Prophet. He returned to Makkah for whatever reason. And his return to Makkah was there. Any consequences of his companionship with the Prophet on the journey? And the second question that arises is, was Abu Bakr actually chosen by the Prophet to go with him? Did the Prophet say, oh, of all the mu'minun that we have in Makkah, I'm going to say this is honor to Abu Bakr, or was it circumstances that forced the situation on him?
Now this is this is a type of very extremist Shia type of discussion about Abu Bakr. Well, certainly, of course, Abu Bakr was in danger. Certainly he was in danger, and the ayah tells us that he was in danger. I mean, he was so grieved that the verse says that the Prophet was comforting him. أَذْ يَغُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And of course, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا means that you are with me, and God is with us. And therefore, I don't think we should take these things to that extreme. And probably the Kuffar of Mecca didn't know who was accompanying the Prophet. So even if Abu Bakr returned to Mecca, it was coming to a people that they didn't know he had accompanied the Prophet, peace be on him. Even if, of course, we don't know whether he returned to Mecca or not. No, I don't think you could take it to that extreme, certainly. And the ayah is telling us that Abu Bakr was in great danger. And that's why he was so much grieved, and that's why the Prophet tried to comfort him.
I have also heard that the reason why the Holy Prophet took Abu Bakr as-Siddiq with him was because he had difficulty keeping his mouth shut, and the Holy Prophet knew that if he was left behind, and since he would divulge the secret of the Holy Prophet, so he thought it best to take him with him.
But why should have he known the secret in the first place?
I mean,
if he could not be trusted with the secret, why should that Prophet divulge that secret to him?
I don't know, this is what happened to him.
Yes. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is the danger. Probably the Sheikh was emphasizing the wide entry into this theological discussion. But anyway, can we try to concentrate on the tafsir itself rather than the story? Can we go to the brother first and then Sicilia?
Just on the same point, I don't really want to get involved in the Shia Sunni debate at all, but just reading the tafsir here, if you just looked at the line, "Do not grieve, Allah is indeed with us," when the Prophet, peace be upon him, is speaking to his companion, would that line not suggest he already has the sakina? Because he is saying, "Do not grieve, Allah is indeed with us," he has that knowledge of the strength of Allah and the composure already, as one of the ladies was saying. And then the line after says, "Then Allah sent down his composure upon him," which if I read it, and my knowledge of the series very limited, if I read that as a line after, I would assume that the composure was going to Abu Bakr. But the line after that says, "And strengthened him with hosts you did not see." That in my mind would suggest referring to Rasul Qadagi. So it seems the ambiguity.
Yeah, but this type of exchange of pronouns is very abhorrent in Arabic literature, actually. And that would make the literature of the Quran somehow base and mean in the sense that it is using a type of literature which is not very much agreeable to the rules of Arabic literature. Actually, this has been discussed in length among exegetes. Now, they have suggested one thing, because as I said in some previous verses, we have that Allah sent down his sakina to his prophets and the mu'minun. And still in that verse, of course, Prophet did not waver in that Ghazwatul Hunayn. He was firm. Only the mu'minun actually ran away from the battle. The companions of the Prophet, they ran away from the battle, and Prophet stood firm, okay, and he ordered the mu'minun to come back, and then it says, ثُمَّ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ. Then Allah sent down his calm and comfort and tranquility to the Prophet and to the mu'minun. So it comes both to the Prophet and to the mu'minun, it's possible. They have mentioned, the exegetes have mentioned that, well, in that occasion, we can say that Prophet actually lost his tranquility for a moment, because he saw that the battle was being lost, the mu'minun were running away, and therefore it was an occasion that Prophet could have lost his sakina, and then Allah sent down his sakina to him. However, when they come to discuss this verse, they say Prophet never loses sakina, and Prophet always would have sakina. This, and some of them would say that the situation here is different. Here is not that occasion which Prophet would become so discomforted. because of the occasion. That was a different issue. In a battle, you become discomforted when seeing your troops are running away. Here, of course, he was not very much afraid, so Sakina was with him, therefore Sakina came down to Abu Bakr rather than to the Prophet. Even if we say that Sakina comes back to Abu Bakr, I mean, it doesn't change anything, because in the previous verse also we have Sakina came down to the Prophet and to the Mu'minun. And of course, this could have been possible in both occasions. However, somehow comparing Prophet with ourselves and saying that in a battle he would waver, he loses Sakina, and in this situation he doesn't lose Sakina, doesn't go very well with the personality of the Prophet. And still, in that situation, this is some sort of worse situation than the battle, because the battle, of course, Prophet knows that he is going to fight the enemy anyhow, and that was a face-to-face battle. Even if everyone ran away, Prophet could himself go forward and fight against the enemy. But this was not a situation that Prophet could fight. They didn't have any sword, they didn't have any armor, and the people were somehow overpowering them. This was a place where discomfort were more possible than in the other situation. However, the best thing is to say that the both situations are the same. But Sakina is a graded type of concept. You might have Sakina, but you might have more Sakina. And we know that Prophet, peace be on him, as he increased his knowledge day by day, as it is mentioned in the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, he increased these types of feelings as well. And in different situations, a different grade, a different level of Sakina came to the Prophet, peace be on him. Initially to the Prophet, of course, and then that was somehow transferred to the Mu'minun, since the Prophet had that Sakina. I don't think we can make a difference between the two situations. And taking the one pronoun going back to the companion, another pronoun going back to the Prophet, would make it a bit ugly in terms of literature.
Any last question?